Joel Waldfogel is the Ehrenkranz Professor and Chair of Business and Public Policy at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. He's also the author of Scroogenomics, Why You Shouldn't Buy Presents for the Holidays. Waldfogel's interest in Christmas gift-giving goes back to 1993, when he gave surveys to his students.
I simply asked students, list the items you've received as gifts. Who was the giver? What do you think the giver paid? And what would you have been willing to pay for it? And so on that basis, I could compare their willingness to pay to the price. Although I have to say, in subsequent surveys, I've really refined the methodology because it occurs to me that the relevant alternative is really stuff I buy for myself, right? So what I've subsequently come to ask people is, list the stuff you received as gifts, who gave it to you, what do you think they paid, what is it worth to you, but then do the same thing for things you've purchased for yourself. And on that basis, having surveyed lots of people over the years, I make the claim, or I say the data make the claim, that per dollar spent, stuff that others buy for us is worth 20% less to us than stuff we buy for ourselves.
20% less. Okay, give me an example.
So a particular kind of example would be, you know, if somebody else goes out to buy a gift for you, they can spend $50. But since they don't know what you like, they might get you something that doesn't fit, something that's the wrong color. You ask yourself, what would I be willing to pay for it? But frankly, in an awful example like the one I'm describing, you wouldn't say anything near $50. You know, if you'd bought something for yourself with $50, you'd get something worth at least $50. Let's just say $60. But with that awful sweater, it doesn't fit you, the wrong color, you might say most I'd pay for it is zero. So that wouldn't be 20%, it would be 100%.
So if my grandmother, who is no longer with us and can't take offense at what I'm about to say, were to buy me a sweater that had large black and red checks because she thought it was pretty, and it was a medium and I wear an extra large, it would be worth nothing but appreciation of her generosity in giving it to me, which I suppose has some value, but monetary value, not so much.
I guess that's right. We can talk about, you know, the joy of giving and the sentimental value, because I think those are important aspects of giving. But putting those aside for the moment, right, the sweater that doesn't fit you and is a color you wouldn't wear isn't something you'd be willing to pay much for.
Right. So I guess what it comes down to is, how much do you think Americans are wasting by buying Christmas gifts that people don't especially want?
Well, my conservative estimate of how much we spend is about $65 billion per year. And I get that from the difference between December retail sales and the retail sales in months around December, November, and January. So that's the spending, not the waste. But then I apply that 20% number to it. That is the difference between the satisfaction that dollars produce when we choose things for ourselves and what dollars produce when others choose things for us. Multiplying 20% by $65 billion is $13 billion per year in missing satisfaction, or deadweight loss, as economists would prefer to say.
Now, that doesn't mean that the economy actually lost $13 billion, because that money was spent. It went into the economy, stores got their money, and businesses went forward. But in terms of return for the money, that's where the loss comes.
That's right. I mean, there are some question, you know, isn't it nevertheless good for the economy that all this spending occurs? And there's some sense in which it is good for the economy, but I think we have to remember that the economy consists of both buyers and sellers. And when we think of what is it that's good about good for the economy, well, for sellers, it's good to receive prices that exceed costs and therefore to get some profit. And it's good for buyers to receive items they value above the price they pay. And that's a kind of a consumer surplus. And normally, when we make our own decisions voluntarily and not insanely, we maximize the surplus we as buyers get, just as the sellers are maximizing their surplus. But again, the problem when others choose for us is that although sellers get what they want, buyers get less than they should have gotten or could have gotten with equivalent amounts of spending done for themselves.
Is there actually damage to the economy in some ways? Because some of this generates an idea of what the public wants that isn't realistic. And therefore, factories are in business making things that really nobody wants.
Well, I think that's exactly right. You could either think about this as, look how much we spend and we don't get as much satisfaction as we could. Or you could say, well, given how much satisfaction we're getting, aren't we wasting a lot of resources making the wrong stuff? And either way, I think, is an appropriate way to think about it.
And the retailers do these days rely very heavily on Christmas. Certainly we hear about it all the time. Christmas is, what, 40% of the annual income for some stores?
Yeah, it's a huge deal. I mean, just overall, retail sales did jump substantially in December relative to the months around it. And for certain categories, for jewelry stores, department stores, it's a huge bump in revenue and probably even a bigger bump in profit. So it is important to them.
So playing around with what people give and why they give it is something that they worry about. They're not necessarily opposed to the kind of thing you're saying, or are they? What kind of reaction are you getting to the...
Well, I haven't heard much from these folks directly yet. Some of the things that I advocate are not at all harmful to them. Because again, I'm not advocating spending less. I'm advocating better match between what's chosen by givers and what recipients want. And a lot of innovations that they've pioneered, like gift cards, have been innovations that have really moved this process toward what you might call more efficient allocation. So I don't think in general that they're hostile to this. I think in general they want both the givers and the recipients to be happy with the stuff they get, so they want to come back and buy more at that same place.
In the research that you've done, do gift cards come out okay? I mean, are people happy to give a gift card? Do they feel as though they've done something? Are people happy to get a gift card? Do they feel as though they got something?
You know, what's so interesting is that, you know, in principle, the perfect gift, and I say this from the standpoint of being a kind of a cold-hearted economist, in principle, the perfect gift is cash. But of course, as soon as you say that, you realize it's insane. It's not the perfect gift. Psychologists have actually done lots of research documenting that cash is a very awkward gift in our society anyways. It's almost an impermissibly awkward gift between social peers. It is sort of allowed between elders and younger recipients. But despite the fact that cash is a stigmatized gift, gift cards, which are a lot like cash, although not perfectly like cash, are not socially stigmatized. They are among the most desired gifts by recipients. They're viewed as somewhat thoughtful. I mean, of course, if you're a giver and you have a good idea what your recipient wants, a gift card is sort of uninspired. But if you're in that gray region where you really don't know, but you have to give something, it's a pretty good alternative that recipients really seem to like. And it lacks the kind of awkwardness of giving dollar bills.
There is some difficulty with it, though. I've read, I guess in Scrooge-onomics you talk about this. Their gift card value is often not used. Is that because you get a gift card for $10 and you buy something worth $9, there's only a dollar left, and you think, oh, well, I'll just throw it away?
Well, I think it's a mix of that and just losing them, forgetting about them. So there is a problem. I do have a misgiving, notwithstanding that they're a step toward efficiency. They have this problem that maybe 10% of them is never redeemed. And so that means, in effect, that the giver is making a gift 90% to his recipient, but 10% to the shareholders of the retailer. Now, as an economist, I'm not as upset about that transfer as I would be about society using resources to make something that someone then puts in a closet and never uses, that latter being real waste. But still, as a human being, I think, and a person sympathetic with givers, I suspect this isn't what givers really had in mind. They didn't really want to transfer 10% of the resources over to the retailer. So I advocate, and I guess I'm told this is about as likely as world peace, but I advocate, wouldn't it be nice if retailers issued gift cards that say after 24 months, their unspent balances defaulted straight to charity? Buyers would look at the card and know that either their loved one or some worthy cause was getting all of their generosity.
I'm in favor of that, but I'm also in favor of world peace. So,
well, we could win a beauty pageant together, you and I.
I like your idea of having the excess on gift cards given to charity. Do you have any other ideas for harnessing the impulse to give Christmas gifts as a force for good?
Yeah, I do. Well, first of all, I mean, notwithstanding the subtitle of the book, I do think people should go ahead and give presents to people they know well. If you know somebody well, and the data show this, if you know people well, you see them frequently, you tend to do pretty well in choosing for them. In fact, sometimes you can do better than they would do for themselves. So go ahead and keep doing that when you have a good reason to do it and some idea. But, you know, if you don't, as we said before, gift cards are an option. And a third option that I like a lot is gifts to charity in the name of the recipient. I'll tell you why I like that idea. One of the things we try to accomplish with gift giving is to allow our recipient to experience a luxury, something that they can't normally afford. If you look at household spending data in the United States, one of the clearest luxury activities is actually cash gifts to charity. And when I say that, you know, the way economists define a luxury, it's something that occupies a higher share of expenditure for higher income households. So higher income households give a bigger share of their expenditures to charity. Now that suggests that maybe we'd all like to do that if just we had some more money. So if I were to give you a charity gift card that allowed you to choose a from a list of charities, and it would become a gift in your name, I'm letting you act like a rich guy. I'm getting some resources over to some organization or individuals who really need it and therefore a high value use. And you and I both get to feel good about having done something good. So there's no value destroyed and some good done in the world. And I think, you know, for gifts among adults, you know, this would be a terrible idea for a kid, but for gifts among adults, what a nice way to discharge our obligations to give to each other.
You're making me think that world peace might be possible after all. And of course, there's one gift that I'm sure you'd say is perfect for just about everyone. That would be a copy of Scroogenomics.
Well, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite here. So I think I should say each person should buy it for himself. And if you like it, buy another copy to give as a gift. If you don't like it, just go ahead and re-gift it.
Joel Waldfogel is the author of Scroogenomics, Why You Shouldn't Buy Presents for the Holidays.